Hello, I'm Eddie.
I'm Meg.
And this week on the podcast, we're going to talk about collaboration and how important it is to making art. It's funny how you're so quiet before the podcast. You're well behaved. It's nice I only have to tell you once. Like, okay, we're going to start, and then we just be quiet.
Yeah, I don't know what to say before the intro. That snap really gives me a lot to think about.
And we'll talk about that snap. That was the
There's
one.
The snap.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
No, I did not. Well. How about you?
No.
I went to a birthday party for a couple of two-year-olds instead.
Oh, how was it?
It was great. I mean, you can't really go wrong with an outdoor birthday party when the weather's beautiful. So it worked out very well.
Yeah, that was strikingly good weather for February.
Yeah. What have you been watching, if not the Super Bowl?
Nothing really. Like, just kids shit.
Yeah, what's your favorite kids shit right now? We know it's not Paw Patrol, because we talked about it extensively last time.
Yeah. The kids got into Superhero Girls, which...
I like that.
Yeah,
like it's that the show. Same creator as MLP, My Little Ponies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Safi, like, she's the one who got started on it. Like, she saw it on Netflix, and then she was like, I want to watch that. And I was like, okay, because I kind of knew it was Lauren Faust going into it. And so I was like, we can watch this.
Yeah.
But, man, on the way to daycare today, I was like, what do you want for your birthday? And I was like, I thought you might want like a Superhero Girls thing. And she's like, yeah, I want Cat Girl. And I'm like, oh boy, like, that's such a big controversy.
She thinks the girl, what's the layperson name of Batgirl?
Barbara Gordon.
Okay. And so she thinks Barbara Gordon is Cat Girl. And then when she is in her superhero she accepts that she's Batgirl.
Oh, really?
I couldn't
figure it out because we were talking about it and she's like, no, I don't want that one. I want the nice cat girl. And then I even asked her like, oh, the one where she has a mask or with no mask? And she goes, yes, mask.
I don't know. She has an idea of what she's talking about, but I don't think it's correct.
I need to find I'm going to show her two pictures and then get her.
You're going to.
Get her the thing that
Put
she
her.
Wants. And then Metalik's like, but I wanted Batgirl for my birthday. And I was like, we can't talk about your birthday yet.
What do they call that? Put her in the interrogation room, show her two pictures.
Right. Yeah, I mean, she does that with brown and red, too. Like, I don't know. I don't think she's colorblind, but I do think that.
She
doesn't put effort into discerning between brown and red.
I've noticed that with things in the past where it just eventually works itself out and she accepts what the rest of us recognize as the truth.
Hmm.
We break her down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that show. I feel like it's rife with paradox, and I feel like it's kind of the same as My Little Ponies.
Yeah, it's like friends are the best.
But like, it's a little more dynamic in that, like, one of the main plot lines is that Batgirl and what's her name? Harley Quinn are, like, best friends when they're just themselves. And then when they're superheroes, they're mortal enemies.
Yeah, that's weird too, because I think Harley Quinn's like her street name is Harley Quinn. So it just it seems pretty obvious that she's the bad
guy. Oh, that's her regular name too?
I think so, yeah.
No, it's got well they had to at least change it for the show because there's this they're continuing this as though they don't know who each other are when they're superheroes.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, it's
Man, have you ever this is unrelated. Have you ever seen the movie Signs? How many M. Night Shyamalan movies have you seen?
More than I needed to. I feel like I'm done. I've reached my lifetime quota.
Yeah, I think I saw three of them.
I think that's how everybody feels, and everybody's like, no, we don't need any more of you.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah, so...
you did what you had to do.
Signs might have been the first one I saw.
I think me too.
And then I later saw the Dead People one. What's that one?
The Mark Wahlberg one? Where
I See Dead People. Is that... Oh, no, it's no, not Mark Wahlberg.
That's Bruce Willis.
Yeah, Bruce Willis. And then Invincible, I think, was his first movie, which I later saw.
Whoa.
Or Unbreakable. Maybe Unbreakable.
Yeah.
And then Girl in the Water, or Lady in the Water.
Okay.
The Village.
Whoa.
The Happening.
You've seen all of these movies?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Haven't you seen all those?
No, I've only seen three.
Oh, wow. Did I just name six different M. Night Shyamalan?
You doubled up. I think that might be all of them, too, right?
Like, no, I think he made one about like the water pushers.
Oh, yeah. Avatar, or was it not Avatar? It's... the airbender or whatever.
Yeah. I guess airbender, water pusher.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot. Did you see that one?
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay, good.
I did not.
Yeah, every time
I finally caught on that there was going to be a twist at the end.
So I went to the co-op after I dropped the kids off, and then there were two produce trucks like delivering, you know.
Uh-huh.
And it's a one-way street, and they were parked side by side.
Okay.
Completely blocking off the
right. The street that street's a little tricky.
But, okay, so stuff like this happens all the time, and I think of the movie Signs all the time. But, like, I walked in front of the two trucks, and I'm thinking, oh, if a car turned, it would, like, pin me up against these trucks, and I would die like the wife on Signs.
Oh, yeah. Like, pinned up against a tree, and
yeah,
then...
Yeah, I think of that all the time, like, getting pinned
swing
up...
Swing away.
And then, yeah, saying, like, just random thoughts.
No, those are very good...
It was a sad
those
moment.
Those are very good story. That's a very compelling way to tell a story.
Wife dying?
No, just that, like, you're revealing some piece of the puzzle early on, and you kind of like you keep it in your mind, but you're not constantly thinking, where is this piece fit in?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then at the end of the story, there's like this very gratification of like, oh, here's where that piece fits into the puzzle.
Right. As if,
and like, I see the complete, now I see the complete story. I see the image.
Yeah. There's this idea that everything makes sense.
Yeah. The book that I'm reading now is very much in that vein, I believe.
I don't think I believe that way, though. I think I would like to believe that way.
I feel like it's a very... When there's points in life when there are signs, when there are things that seem like coincidence, and then they seem to be pointing you in a specific direction, and it's a very magical feeling. Yeah, I definitely like to believe that those things exist, and if you are there, if you're functioning on a certain vibration,
synchronicities, right?
Yeah, that's synchronicities. Like there's a place where you see those things, and life starts to feel more purposeful and meaningful.
Yeah, you can. You can certainly. It almost seems like the this is in like so many of the cartoons that we watch, but there's like a character that has to solve a puzzle, and then they put all the red tape across like pictures on a bulletin
board.
Right. And it's almost like the detective that goes insane trying to make these connections that aren't or are there.
Right.
So yeah, I think if you're a good enough detective, I guess you could put it all
together.
Okay,
but also the idea behind synchronicity is you don't know the problem you're trying to solve. Like in the detective, it's like, well, I'm trying to solve this murder. There's like a very clear thing that you want to know, but it's also not totally clear what you want to know, but there is like a specific reason you're looking. Mm-hmm. Where with Signs, it's more like you don't even know that's like Swing Away. It's like, I'm not thinking about where that fits in, or I don't know.
Yeah.
It's also like that idea in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy where he gets the answer. That's something like he gets the answer and the answer is 24. And then it's like the whole thing is like, what's the question? Now I know the answer.
Oh.
Now to figure out what the question
Man,
to the answer.
That's funny because I was thinking I was going to talk about that. There was like a weird Jim Carrey movie called The Number 23.
Okay.
And he just keeps like encountering the number 23 and then like starts like adding and subtracting and dividing and kind of everything relates back to this number. And then I think in the end, he's just crazy. And there's no real connection, but he keeps making
that
this connection.
Like an unsatisfying movie.
Yeah. And Jim Carrey's in it. Yeah.
But I don't think
he
the answer is
talk
20.
Out of his butt.
For some reason, I don't think the answer is 24 in that movie. I think it might be 34 or 36. But anyway.
Oh, okay.
Or
in
that book.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I won't spoil what the question is. But also, was Kobe Bryant's number 24?
Whoa.
Like Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan was 23.
Oh, Michael Jordan was 23.
Kobe Bryant was...
I thought I heard
his number was significant because it was the amount of time that they put on a shot clock.
Okay.
You know, so like once a team in basketball gets the ball, they have this many amount of seconds to shoot it.
Okay.
Or else the other team gets the ball. And that was Kobe Bryant's number. So a lot of NBA games started with the team running out the shot clock.
Okay,
you know,
I had heard that. I had heard that on the radio, and I thought, oh, yeah, that was Michael Jordan's number, and now I'm corrected that it was not Michael Jordan's number.
Ooh, I don't know. I don't think it was.
No, 23 sounds right.
That doesn't sound like enough seconds to shoot the ball.
We could easily look. Does Dr. Sharp, if you're listening, would you Google this for us and call in?
Yeah. Without her, we're just like absent of facts.
I do have a phone. I do have a phone.
I have a computer. It was 24 was his number.
Okay.
Yeah. 23 just doesn't sound like enough time. But 24.
It's the perfect amount of time for a shot clock. I'm sure they've realized that over time.
Yeah. Weird. I guess so. Every time I see like an opportunity to get pinned by an automobile against a wall or something, I'm like, oh yeah, Signs. And then I think about M. Night Shyamalan. So I saw Signs.
So you're thinking about him constantly.
I think about Signs pretty regularly because there's that little girl. Was it Dakota Fanning? And
it might have been. I think one of the Culkins. I think Kieran Culkin is in that. But Dakota Fanning might also. That could have been
the
first
girl,
time I
like,
saw her.
She's got a thing with water. And so I think about that sometimes too when Metalurk doesn't want to drink water that's kind of nasty. And I'm like, oh man, Signs. What an important movie in my life.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
He's in it. Is it also Bruce Willis?
No, it's Mel Gibson.
Oh, okay. The other Bruce Willis. The one that we don't like.
Nobody calls him that. Because they're both bald.
I don't know. But okay, so there's like a handful of male action movie stars from the 90s that are all kind of.
So Braveheart was his action movie?
Yeah. Wasn't Mel Gibson's been in a ton of action movies?
He was in Lethal Weapon.
Mad Max, wasn't he in Mad Max?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And then the other guy. Well, he's kind of a more rom-com guy, but he did the Waterworld.
Kevin Costner.
And then Liam Neeson is the British version of those guys.
Well, I'm sure to read your book when it comes out because you've made a lot of connections that I don't think many people have thought of.
Well, it's more lack of thinking, just like they're nebulous to me because I don't watch action movies. I was just thinking about this because I have been watching a lot of TV lately and my category of television is definitely dramedy with a strong female lead.
Oh, is that what Netflix told you?
I think so. Yeah. And they're pretty much spot on with that prediction.
Well, you watched The Office, though.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm talking about the shows that I'm watching that you don't want to watch with me. Or you're like kind of interested, but you're also like, man, this is really, I'll say asinine when you'd probably just call it stupid.
I don't, you really read into a lot of like, I don't know. Sometimes I just don't want to watch. I don't want to watch something that will make me have to watch the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I just don't watch it with you because I don't want to be committed.
That makes sense.
But I like a lot of the shows you're watching. Like,
yeah, I'm done with all of them. I like started real. I got some shows and I started them all at the same time and now they're all done. So I was watching Frankie and Grace and AJ and the Queen and Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Mm-hmm. And I burned through them all.
Yeah, I like Frankie and Gracie. And Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I just feel like it's not as good as everyone says it is.
No, she is pretty annoying. But that little taste when they gave me the Paris Geller actress in the third season, yeah. That was good. It really was unsatisfying, though. They didn't do much with her. So it might just be a teaser to get me to come back to the fourth season, like she's going to appear more. But
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So far, the way that the plot has gone, that wouldn't really make sense for her to come back.
But yeah, you wanted to talk about Rue. I feel like he's got a deal with Netflix or something.
He's got deals all over the world. He's just like, I'm just totally impressed with him. And I'm really, really excited to watch him on SNL this weekend.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'm going to, I was like trying to,
it's the like, Super Bowl I was trying,
I definitely do not have enough queer friends in the vicinity in Athens. I would like to have more queer friends.
What's your queer quota?
It's like zero.
No, like how many do you need?
Oh.
One.
Well, once you get one, you like make more connections. Like
two?
I'd like to be on the network.
Right.
Because I'm right now, I'm like, well, Eddie's going to watch it with me, but you know, it would be fun to get a bunch of people who are as excited as I am to watch it with me. And I'm going to invite Laurel because I know she's a big Drag Race fan.
Yeah, she'll like it.
Yeah, we just got, you know, with having kids, you just end up hanging around parents and a lot of parents are
heterosexual.
Heterosexual, yeah. That's what I say to that.
Well, yeah, Sarah was that, Desi's boss, Sarah.
Yeah.
She's gay.
Yeah, I know a couple of lesbians.
Oh, don't count? What? I don't want to go there.
I don't know that lesbians are as into RuPaul as other queer people.
Yeah, this is going to be a strange book when it comes out. Okay, so you wanted to talk about
collaborating.
Oh yeah, collaborating.
So the reason this topic came up for me.
We have a long history of collaborating.
We do, and I think we've both learned a lot from the process of collaborating with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. About one another.
And about ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody posted as I saw somebody had posted this article on Facebook this morning. Full disclosure, I did not read the article, but I didn't really feel like I needed to. Started to read the article and it just felt like a little bit too much fluff for me.
Oh man, I've read articles that are just like you read it and then you wish you had just not read it. Because it's
you're
just
like, I got that from the headline.
Yeah. And it's just like a lot of words that don't give any more detail than the headlines.
I mean, the Onion really got it right. Like, the Onion is just the headlines. And then you read the articles and it's just like there are a couple more jokes sprinkled in. But mm-hmm. It's like the point is the headline. So anyway, the headline of this article that I didn't read was just get it done. It doesn't have to be perfect. Something like that.
Just get it done. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah. And that's something that I feel like you are a, you definitely live by that motto. Like you, the most important thing is to finish a project, not to make it perfect. And I am definitely somebody who's more obsessed with making things perfect to where I don't finish things. I don't often don't finish things, but you have made me more of a finisher.
Yeah. I mean, there's
not just in sex.
Well, finishing is important. Yeah. I don't know. I do. There is a balance though. I don't think you should I don't think you should just finish anything. I think there are certain projects that they kind of demand completion. Most projects, I would say, demand completion. And then some projects, like, I think, you know, like, would an unfinished version, or would it, like, a not perfect, not polished version of this project be beneficial, or would it just, I don't know. I view everything kind of as a work in progress, and I don't view anything as actually being completed. So there's a lot of like projects that need a public release and they need to be like exposed. But I really don't consider many projects finished.
I also read a good quote online. I think Mel posted this on her Instagram story.
Oh, yeah.
And it
this
was
where we get our news.
It was a Kurt Cobain quote, so it was nothing new. But it was the again not quoting this correctly, but the gist of it was that people are great at creating things, but they're not that great at maintaining them. And I feel like you are also, you're a good maintenance man.
Maintenance, that's important.
So yeah, I think that's an important component of creating something. You're right. So it does, like it is, you could always make it better and leave space to make it better. But there has to be a point where you put it out there where it's like, it's seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do the maintenance on it.
Yeah, but you know, that doesn't always work. And especially with the type of stuff you do, like... You put out a lot of finished products, which is like visual art. You can't really, you don't get to hang it in the museum, then get some feedback, take it home,
right,
alter it, and then put it back in the museum. You only get that one shot, which is what Eminem was talking about.
Yes, but I think I had a realization that I've probably had before, but as with almost all realizations in life, you have to continue to have them over and over again.
This cat's gonna unplug the headphones.
So the recent realization was that in art you have to put something out, and your the maintenance on the art is kind of making something new in the same vein, where it's like everything you create, your whole life of art is like you're making the same, you're kind of making the same thing over and over again in a way.
Variations on a theme, right?
Exactly. Where the theme, to me, the theme is always me. I'm always the theme of my art.
Yeah. So like when we collaborate, usually on the Christmas card, it's always like a fight, right?
Yeah. We do a lot of fighting and collaboration.
So, which has to be, I think that has to have any true collaboration, you have to fight for what you want in the thing. I mean, this is like coming from a weird perspective. It's just basically how you and me collaborate. But I think like when I collaborate with other people, they don't fight me. And then I'm really suspicious of like, what are they even offering? Like, this is just my thing now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't want to get up in my face about like what they want in the project.
Can you give a specific example of another collaboration?
Well, this podcast.
Okay.
But I guess this podcast has found a nice place of collaboration where I don't know. I don't push too many ideas onto it. I'm like, what do you guys want to talk about?
Yeah. Well, a conversation has to be a collaboration.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't have any examples.
Being in bands. I feel like you were in a band that a band, like, the idea is being a collaboration? Or if you're Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Tom Petty is, like, just telling you what to do as a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
And it's not a collaboration.
I was more of the, yeah, I was more of, like, in Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, but not Tom Petty when I was in a band. And you have to, like, maybe that is playing a role in a collaboration. Like, I guess there's many roles in collaborations. Like, you can just support your leader.
Yeah, that's true. That's an important role because Tom needs support, you know, when he was alive. And it's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. R.I.P. I miss that gravelly voice of his.
Yeah, but I think even in that supportive role, you have to kind of believe what your leader is doing. So, I don't know. Or I would have had to believe what the leader was doing. I couldn't just, like, be like, oh, yeah, you're taking us in this weird place where I'm not comfortable with and let that happen.
Yes. That's when he goes and does a solo album.
But then if you're the Tom Petty of the group, which you often are, right?
I don't know. I'm uncomfortable with the Heartbreakers. Like, I kind of just want to do my solo album because I don't really like telling people what to do and feeling like they're part of the collaboration. Like, I'm kind of like, well, I'm just telling you what to do. I don't really know why I'm giving you credit for that. Like, I'm getting better at it, but I think that this is something I really admire about Desi being such a good, delegator of responsibility, so that you can really see somebody's talent and somebody's worth in a situation and let them bring their creativity to the table in a constructive way where, you know.
Yeah, no, I've often thought about that too. She has the ability to listen to pretty bad ideas and make those people feel like they're contributing.
Or even hear the quote unquote bad idea and see why that might, you know, like, take something positive from it, because why is that person bringing that idea to the table? Like, maybe there is value to that, even if it's not immediately apparent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to do a collaboration with Meadowlark.
Oh, yeah. So that's what you're getting at.
And so there's this art show at Bouvet. I think it goes up on February 15th. So a little less than 2 weeks away.
10 days.
I'm scared now because I'm not done.
9 days.
9 days. Okay. I don't know if it's a child-adult collaboration or a specifically parent and child collaboration, but I think Meadowlark has some really amazing artistic instincts.
I've worked with her before.
She really is creative and confident in her creativity, which I definitely embrace and admire. But in trying to create a single piece of work together, I am really struggling on how to do that. And I think this, I'm hoping to get somewhere with this conversation. What has happened so far is we sat down with our 2-foot by 2-foot piece of paper and some pens and some pencils and some paint. So I was really like opening up the medium here, or the media here, like, kind of whatever you want to do, we're just gonna get it on this paper. So it got pretty messy. We covered the whole piece of paper in paint. It did not look like anything, and it was pretty much muddy. And then we had the idea, after making a birthday card that turned out pretty well together, we're going to put words on it. I started to put words on the paper, and Meadowlark was like, no, that's not what I wanted. And we got in a big, you know, it was a falling out between us where she didn't want to work on it anymore. And she thought I was not, I didn't understand her vision. So then we started to cut up the paper and then she left and, it was like, okay, should we start? Then I was trying to broach the conversation a little later. Like, should we restart? Like, I did buy two pieces of paper. And she just was like, I'm going to do my own artwork now. And she drew a rainbow on a piece of paper. Okay. So anyway, at this point I'm like, okay, we have a little more time. I'm willing to start over. And I thought about some ways we might start over with, more to, you know, try to diminish the amount of chaos in the process. But instead I started to sew back the piece of paper that we had, effed up.
Oh boy.
And so I sewed it back to a square and then I gessoed over it. So it's white paint, except for a couple areas where I thought something nice was happening. And it really brought me back to my, college experience, like the first couple of years in college and when I was taking art classes. And that was like, the whole idea was, to me, what I got out of it was, you create and you destroy. Create and destroy. Take what works, keep it, let go of everything else. So
yeah, this is interesting. I mean, not only because you're working with your child, but you're treating her like an equal partner in this, maybe?
When I heard collaboration, that's what I thought. Like, we are going to go at this together. She is going to be as equally visible in this piece as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And now actually doing the process of trying to do this together, I realized that this is maybe not something that a parent and child should do together, because parenting is not a collaboration between you and your child.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, I guess it is kind of, but it's a collaboration where it should be very clear that I have the final say and all the control.
Whoa. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
In this instance, she's, I mean, she's collaborate. I've said I've collaborated with her before, but you're like teaching her how to collaborate and also collaborating. So that's like two hard things to do.
Yeah.
At the same time. Usually when I collaborate with her, it's like, what should we do here? And then she's like, well, draw a shark right there. And then I'll draw like my crappy version of a shark.
Uh-huh.
And then she goes, well, it needs teeth. And then she like either starts to draw the teeth or she tells me exactly what kind of teeth I need to draw.
Yeah.
And so I think when I talk about collaboration with her, it's usually like, she knows that I have skills that she doesn't have, and she uses my skills to
create her vision.
And then when it's all over with, like when the project is done, she takes full credit for it. She's like, yeah, I did this. Dad helped me, but I did this.
Okay.
And it's like, usually, like, remember when we were at Taylor and Beth's house and like, I'm talking about like, we made like a shark there and
a
couple different things. And she was like, I made all of these things.
Okay. Yes.
And like, everyone was like, Metalark, that's so good. Like, you did such a good job. But it was really just her kind of bossing me around. And, you know, like with Safi, I do it too. Like, we'll do collaborations. And so, I mean, I let them boss me around on the art. And then also something comes out of it. Like, I think it inspires them to be more confident to, you know, put some shit down.
Yeah.
And so on a lot of these like collaborations, as I call them, which are really just them telling me what to draw.
I mean, but it couldn't have happened without both of you. So that's a collaboration. You're creating something that neither of you could create individually.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And it does turn out to be a collaboration, but it's not like 50-50.
Right.
It's like,
that would be really a funny aspect of this show if it on the little placard it gave you a ratio of the collaboration
of how much people talk.
When the show goes up, it's like child 9, 30%, adult, man, 40, you know, 70%.
Like, there was like a note at the nature center taped to the turtle where the turtle used to be.
Oh.
Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
And it's was like some mom wrote it and drew a picture of the turtle.
Uh-huh.
But like then at the bottom, it was like, my son told me all these words and told me to draw this turtle. And I'm that's not even cute. Like, I don't like that at all. Like, have your son like grow up, learn to write, then write the letter, because, you know, I'm not experiencing it. Like, you could have just done this on your own.
Right.
And it was a little too well worded for like a 3-year-old to have done. And the drawing was not very good. And it's like, if you're an adult mom,
don't draw what you think your kid would draw if they're like a little older.
Like, she was like putting backwards R's in her.
Wait, no.
I'm like, that's what I saw in this. And I'm just like, no, you have, like, I expect more from an adult.
So, okay. That is an underlying thing of this collaboration, because I'm like, I am putting my name on this. I want it to be to my standard of art making. Like, I don't put my art out in the public very often. So this is like, maybe if I did, I'd feel more comfortable just like, oh yeah, like you finish, I've taken it this far, you finish it off. But I'm like, I am attached to outcome of this piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's that's gonna be hard for you. And I don't think she's gonna cooperate. Like, you might you're working with like Andy Warhol, and you're going to need to jump through some hoops to get this to where you want it to be.
And that's a lot of what family is, isn't it? It's like you're constantly agreeing to collaborate and just despite the clash.
You're constantly agreeing to whatever Metalurk wants.
But I'm continuing to tell her what I think the world is about,
mm-hmm.
and how things should be done.
Yeah.
I'm
so
gonna
she's
keep
like
telling her.
She's learning from you.
Yeah. I'm going to, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. So
chiseling away.
Who have you're mainly a solo artist. I feel like I'm mainly a solo artist too.
Yeah.
And you're forced to collaborate every now and then. Right.
Yeah.
And often I think, as you think, and maybe this is why we are so compatible or incompatible, is that I think when I do something by myself, it's much better than when I collaborate with someone else. But when you collaborate with someone else, that's what you get. And you can say, well, it was good.
Well, I think that's one reason I really enjoyed a couple, you know, the few radio plays where we really collaborated, because I did feel like those were avenues where I had something to contribute, but there's no way I could have done all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the, like, even trying to do it this year, I think you were just throwing a lot of ideas at it, and I had to synthesize something out of it. And,
yeah.
You know, that is my strong suit, like synthesizing or distilling a story.
I actually think that you and I are great at collaborating with a third party.
Like a mediator?
No, just a third person. Yeah, not a mediator, just that we both each have a sets of skills that would really benefit from a third set of skills.
Mm, yeah.
Like, I really, when Tay used to live here, I always felt like the three of us were a really good team. I don't know that we actually created anything together, but I felt like the three of us together had a very balanced dynamic.
Yeah, we created experience for a lot of people.
We created kickball, which was perfect.
Yeah, I don't take any credit for that. I was probably like the band member that was just kind of supporting you guys.
You were the drummer. You're like keeping the beat.
Groupie level support.
You're very you're very grounded. Grounding force.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're gonna have to be the grounding force of your collaboration with Meadowlark. Because she's a child, man. Like,
that's true. She is. But I hope that I can learn something from her.
I mean, you've done, like, you did that, you did the pinata head, and you had, like, these very specific ideas, and then you just let it go, and it didn't look good when it was done. Especially, and the cake, too. Like, you had an idea for the cake, and then you just let it go, and it didn't look good. But you were happy with it.
I thought it looked good.
It didn't. It did not. I saw a picture of it, like, yesterday. It looked like somebody had tried to draw a bear, and then somebody just put, like, sprinkles over it.
See, that's what... I have a hard time with that, too, because I'm like, I'm trying to appreciate what a child is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And this... Because I feel like I lack playfulness sometimes in my creativity. And
I think you do. Kids do.
Really are great at being playful in their creativity. So I see that. I see the pinata and I see the cake and I'm like, okay, there is like obvious play happening here. Mm-hmm. And I can appreciate my hard work being played on.
I think what you need to do is maybe 5 different pieces and then just cut out the best part that she did from those pieces and paste them onto your thing that you want.
Well, when I was talking to Rachel Schleppy, who turned me on to this project in the first place.
You call her Schleppy?
Sleepy?
It's Schleppy.
Schleppy.
But you said Schleppy.
Schleppy. I like the S-C-H sound.
Schreiber. Gotcha. Continue. What was her advice?
Well, she didn't have advice. She was just struggling also to collaborate with her daughter. And mm-hmm. She said the point she was at currently was that she had just taken a bunch of her daughter's old artwork and was collaging it onto her piece of
the
paper.
Collage was made for this. It's like that quilt that we saw on
the crazy quilts. Yeah. I love crazy quilts. It's a great idea. Yeah. I hope to make one someday.
Oh, well, the sun came out.
Yeah, pretty.
All right. Any last thoughts? Final thoughts before I cut you off.
Do you have any dream collaborations that you would like to collaborate on in your life?
I don't know. I feel like I wanted to get that radio play thing going, like a separate podcast for radio plays, but it's so much work that I would need a pretty big team, like a superhero girls style. Like, I need,
no,
like,
it's true.
Like 5 different people that are only good at a certain thing.
Right.
And I don't know if I, like, that's another skill too. Like, to create, I feel like Jessica Smith is good at, like, wrangling artists.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, like, corralling people that are good at specific things. And what do you call it when you put a thing on a horse? Like,
harnessing
the talent of all of these, like, different people.
That in itself is a great talent.
So, and I'm not that good at it. I'm okay at it.
Yeah.
But I would like one of those people.
Okay. Jessica Smith.
Yeah. To, like, rein in all of these other talents. But then you need, like,
you need a writer. You need actors.
Yeah. You know, musicians. You need
editor. So you need a few different editors. Editors
it would be neat to,
so valuable.
Because I did all of the dollars and cents stuff by myself, and it fell short. Like, I tried to do everything, and it was okay for what it was, but it could have been better. It could have been better.
It could have been better, but you did a fantastic job.
And I think in doing it, I found what I'm pretty good at.
Yeah.
And the things that I'm comfortable with, and I think that I was good at, I can keep. But the things that you have to recognize shortcomings and be like, this could have been better.
That's true.
If somebody else had done it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's an amorphous idea, but maybe some sort of dream team, like, podcast. That would be neat. What about you?
For producing radio plays.
Or, maybe just set the bar a little lower. Like radio plays is, it's pretty intense.
Dream team collaboration. Now that we're talking about it, I'm thinking that the visual art of a, you know, a canvas or a piece of paper is not the best format for collaboration. It's like a very personal format. But I would like to collaborate with the kids on something in the future. Something that I really would like to do is a large scale mosaic.
Oh, yeah, mosaics are cool.
That could probably be something that you could work on with other people.
Yeah. Hey, kids, break these plates.
Yeah. Perfect. Actually, that's funny that I mean, it's all in the ethos or whatever. Is that the...
No, I
it's all in the ether, because I just...
I know what you're talking about. It's just a morsel of an idea.
Well, yeah, because I was over at... Meadowlark and I were over at Dr. Sharp's the other day, and we found some broken pieces of plate, and I made a little heart mosaic out of them.
She talked about that broken stuff box.
Right.
It's right next to
it
her.
Wasn't, yeah, this was like broken stuff box. In the yard, not in the house.
Kind of move it to the box.
Yeah. Okay. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for listening. This has been the Athens Public Think Tank Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Athens Public. Email us athenspublic@gmail.com. I don't know, 706-521-3716. Leave us some voicemails and maybe we'll play them. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you subscribing, rating our podcast, and giving it stars. We're going to do more of these.
I agree.
That was fun. We'll see you next time. Bye.